You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for ChartsAndMarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Good to be with you and good to be with our listening audience out there. And it's a gloomy, damp morning here in Vancouver.
Well, Bob, we'd like to kick off our show with a listener question. In fact, Michael has several questions for us. So as we weigh into Michael's first question, and it's a lengthy one. Hello, Bob and Jim. We'll give Michael an accent. MarketWatch headline, Trump's talking about auditing Fort Knox. It might be a $750 billion maneuver. Apparently, some newly minted administration officials want to revalue gold held by the U.S. Treasury from $42 an ounce to $3,000 per ounce. It's not there yet, Bob. Reports are that they will televise with the actual gold vaults at Fort Knox. Bob, I'm confused. How can a mere $750 billion of revalued gold balance a U.S. budget with a deficit of $35 trillion? It's not exactly like taking a rabbit out of the hat via some trick accounting. Heck, Elon Musk is worth $400 billion. Why not just revalue him? Bob, what's the point about central banks using gold as a reserve in the first place unless it's valued much higher, like between $1,500 to
$2,600?
$15,000. See, such a high number. I'm not used to saying it.
Yeah.
Like $15,000 to $26,000 per ounce, a range forecast by several well-known sound money advocates.
Now, that is a good question, and one of the things that I learned only recently through some remarkably diligent research is that, you know, all the gold that's kept in the basement of Fort Knox? Well, in basements, there's something called radon gas, and they were worried about this a few years ago. And I have it on good authority that the radon gas in the basement of Fort Knox has turned all of the gold to lead. So there you are.
Yeah, that would be a rumor, right?
That's an invention by yours truly. So anyways, it doesn't. Traditionally and eventually, governments and financial guys and bankers have discovered that the only reserve is gold. That's whether it's for commercial banking, merchant banking, or the evil of central banking. And what it does is provide a foundation. And also, if you have a gold reserve in a central bank and you're doing stupid things, then the gold will be withdrawn from the central bank. And then when that gets too much, then the central bankers raise rates and go back to being a little more practical. So gold does play an important, has for a thousand years played an important part. Hey, 2000, let's go back to Roman times. An important part of the foundation of banking and transactions and everything else. So, and there's no getting around it. Keynes, the economist John Maynard Keynes, he was more or less ignorant of financial history. So this is where he dreamt up, you know, intrusion and easing it at depression or recession bottoms and would stop the recession, that sort of stuff. And the only reason why he could invent all that fluff was he had no practical history of finance. Then, of course, at the time in the early 30s, you had Franklin Delano Roosevelt as president, and he was kooky. He'd try any kind of idea on trying to mess with the with that terrible post bubble Great Depression. So history, the real history of financial markets and the behavior of major financial people and major bankers and even Federal Reserve bankers is quite the disaster, actually.
Second question for you from Michael. Can the USA continue forward as an economically and politically viable nation if the trillions in unaccounted for and missing payments made to NGOs, foreign governments, and others are not identified and in cases of fraud not clawed back? Can the political class just say, let bygones be bygones, or let's pretend it didn't happen and start all over again?
Well, I think what's going to happen is at least these fraudulent entities, the NGOs and whatnot, it's coming out thanks to Musk and his committee, people are not liking it. So, but you have to look at, we have been in a great financial bubble, and all five previous great financial bubbles ended up with a severe hit, and the typical has been into a Great Depression. So this is what we're facing now. It's going to make, if we really get into a severe, just the first one, a severe recession, it'll sharpen up a whole lot of bad behavior in financial markets and by central banks. I'll tell you, yeah, it's quite the discipline. A contraction is quite the discipline. So, yeah.
My question here is Mark Carney running for the Liberal leadership. So he would, if he won it, automatically become the Canadian Prime Minister. Former Bank of England governor, former Bank of Canada governor. Would he be smart with Canada's money?
No, because he's a highly educated academic, educated in nonsense theories. No, he'd be a disaster. And then he's also, the guy is very intense about global warming caused by CO2, and that is a lot of nonsense. So he wants to bring in all kinds of carbon taxes and controls. He's going to be just as dedicated about that nonsense as Trudeau has been. But there will be an election, hopefully, and I'll believe the Trudeau resignation, something about in March, and I will believe it when it actually happens. So we reserve judgment on that one.
Now, of course, the Conservative leader, Pierre Poilievre, the only job he has ever held is been Member of Parliament. What kind of experience would he have with money?
I think he's an outstanding Conservative leader. I think the most outstanding since Ronald Reagan in the States. He's a very bright and well-informed man, and I think I would trust him as leader of the government. Yeah, indeed.
And my question for you, Trudeau, even though he's technically resigned, decided at the last second here to build a high-speed rail link between Toronto and Quebec City that will cost between $40 and $45 billion. Wouldn't it have been better to spend that money on a pipeline from east to west Canada?
Oh, very good, yeah. No, I can't. Well, yeah, he's coming out with suggestions when he's essentially a lame duck. I mean, he's just, you know, maybe somewhere in March he's actually out. I'll believe it when I see it. But this is I don't know why they're doing that. The same thing with the Biden administration is still throwing out absolute nonsense ideas about Mexico and climate and just absolute garbage. You know, here's an example of how nasty the Democrats can be in the States. Now, many years ago, they voted and decided to build a steel wall along the border to the south with Mexico. And then, of course, with the Biden Obama and then the Biden administration, that was stopped. But there was still a whole lot of metal panels of this fence and storage and everything else. So after Trump wins the election, the Biden administration sells all of that fence material for 5 cents on the dollar, just to be nasty. So, I mean, you got to understand that is one of the key things about intrusive political persuasions, is just plain nasty. So, there you are.
We'll take a look at some of the headlines that caught Bob's eye right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Here's some of the headlines that caught your eye. Headline number one from Axios. Democrats play blame game with GOP on looming government shutdown.
Yeah, games going on there, nasty ones. We mentioned that just a minute ago. So, yeah.
Now, considering that Trump controls the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the White House, why would they be shutting down the government? Can't he just say keep things going?
Well, they're trying to mess it up, although they are leaving office. End of story.
Headline from Yahoo. Bundesbank warns Germany a particular risk from U.S. tariffs.
Yeah. They're all going on about tariffs, but the game that Trump is playing is that there were very bad people coming in from the Mexican border and equally bad people and fentanyl and all that sort of stuff coming across the Canadian border because regulation at the Canadian border was just so lax. So Trump came out and said, okay, the tariff threat is to get them to do the proper thing with the border crossings in Mexico and from Canada. And there's a secondary thing behind Trump where he comes out and talks about making Canada the 51st state and the Trudeau would be governor. I mean, this is fun stuff. But what he does is he'll say something really quite sensational, and then his back-off point is more practical. Now, I think this is leading to the suggestion that the Canadian border, the U.S.-Canadian border, be made more open economically and for crossing of people. And then also to make sure you're looking at controlling the bad guys, too. But then it makes one huge economic block, Canada and the U.S. It's a fabulous idea. And then along with that, and I think some politicians are beginning to realize it'd be a good idea, is all of the trade barriers that exist in Canada from province to province. So, hey, make open free trade from province to province, and then finally get a pipeline into the eastern part through Quebec and into the oil refineries in the Atlantic provinces. Now, get this: Quebec and Ottawa still calls this equalization program gets about $12 billion annually. And most of it comes from Alberta and Saskatchewan through oil production that the Quebec won't allow a pipeline. I mean, this is really some form of madness. I whenever I look at it, I get upset. So let's move on to another question.
German voters demand change as Europe's biggest economy stalls.
Oh, yeah. It is stalling out there. As I say, a great financial boom, and when it slows and rolls over, essentially the economy goes with it. Now, normally a business cycle, you'll have the stock market peak, and then sort of like 10 to 12 months later, the economy peaks. And this is why the Standard & Poor's 500 index is in the economist's calculation of leading indicators. But this doesn't work at a great bubble because the whole world, the whole of the economy, shifts towards financial speculation. So then when the stock market fails, the economy heads down almost immediately. So, Yeah, no, that goes, that is the way it works. And I'm expecting the same thing to happen, that all of a sudden the stock market could be a whole lot lower. And at the same time, there'd be headlines about a sharply slowing economy. Actually, there's been one or two headlines recently about some economic series in the States plunging, you know, kind of collector's type headlines. So, it's going to be very interesting.
Headline from the Wall Street Journal: investors spot signs of market froth during long bull market.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Market froth. That is a good one, because it has been very frothy out there. But then you got to take a look at that 10-day hit into December 18. And that was the worst plunge on data back to 1974. Oh, no, that was a killer hit. And then we've gone on to, great recovery in stock prices, both in Canada and the U.S. Now, in Canada, the TSE index, or whatever they call it, it of course, has a greater weighting of gold stocks than does New York. And so, and the really great action in gold and some good action in gold stocks has been helping out the TSX.
Headline from the Financial Times: soaring gold becomes top Trump trade.
Yeah, that's a good one. They're relating the soaring gold to Trump. For some reason or other, you get reports every now and again about various central banks adding to their gold reserve. And what it is, I can't explain it other than saying some central banks are getting practical and increasing their gold reserves. And I like it.
China bond sell-off deepens on cash squeeze.
Oh, yeah. Real money is disappearing, I guess, and this is a good one out of... And China is an absolutely immense economy, and when it is faltering, and the rest of the world will follow. Now, in times past, when London was the financial center and pound was the senior currency, the failures would be in lesser countries and lesser exchanges, and then eventually it hits the London. And then, of course, that was the case in New York since 1929, as New York became more and more important in the world's financial markets, that the hit starts out there at lesser countries and exchanges, and then eventually it gets the senior ones. So we'll just watch for failures in lesser exchanges.
Headline: Bank of America survey shows investors haven't been this risk on since 2010.
Oh, yeah, that one I like. Yeah, it's a risk on world. Hey, and then froth. It's all there, Jim. It's wonderful. That was a great headline.
Yes, a friend of the show, Mark Leibovit, said right now the stock market, while it's going higher, it's very stock specific. It's not even sector specific. You have to be very careful now.
Oh, yeah. A couple of biggies are keeping the thing going.
Headline from
A few biggies are keeping the whole game going. So
yeah, it used to be the Magnificent Seven, and then it keeps squeezing down to the Magnificent Six, yeah. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You know, I'm going to go off track here for a moment, but the final scene in that movie, The Magnificent Seven, Steve McQueen, is just absolutely fabulous. Every once in a while I'm sitting and I thought, oh, I got to watch that. So then you get into the video and watch the last 5 minutes or so of The Magnificent Seven. I love it. So,
headline from Yahoo: single-family housing starts tumble in January.
Yep, that's another economic series getting a sudden... Oh, they use the term tumble? Sure, that describes it.
Well, Toronto, which a few years ago had more construction cranes in the sky than the next 10 biggest cities in the U.S. But, of course, they were building these very tall towers with 500-square-foot condos and charging a fortune for pre-bought condos, and now the price of those little cracker boxes has fallen.
You're right, yeah. Now, I remember in the big oil boom to 1980, and I think this was the governor of Texas. And on the boom, they had building cranes all over the place. And he said that, yeah, for a while there, we thought we'd make the state bird the building crane. And now it's a turkey. So along those lines, it was a good one. So, yeah.
From Bloomberg, private credit is the hot new thing on Wall Street. But what is it? What's the deal?
Yeah, well, that's where I put in a quote from, a few hundred years ago about what is it? And damn me, sorry, I haven't got it in front of me here now. But anyways, in the past, they've had that question about new names and all kinds of things out there to trap you. I'm sorry, I haven't got that in front of me. Hang on a second. No, I haven't got it in my notebook. It's somewhere else. Anyways, but there is a quote from way back following the South Sea Bubble of 1720, and it's about all sorts of devices and financial engines, names and interest rates and discount and all that sort of stuff by some guy who was very perplexed. I guess he'd taken a major hit in the crash that followed the 1720 bubble. And also so did the famous Isaac Newton. And he had played it early on the way up and made a lot of money. And then much later on, he was also advising some people on their investments, and he got back in late and high, and he had a major hit, financial hit with it. So, yeah, I'll bring that story up in one of our future editions of our publications on some of that historical stuff. And then, of course, we've got, is that the end of the questions?
Oh, no.
I mean, the headlines?
Next headline is from Associated Press. What is a polar vortex? U.S. gets a taste of the Arctic this week.
Yeah, a polar vortex. Isn't that a wonderful phrase? And decades ago, it was called a cold snap. So, but a polar vortex, I love the phrase. Yeah.
I've heard the phrase Alberta Clipper.
Oh, yeah.
When it goes down, yes, and it's the usual blame Canada. Well, remember, Marjorie Taylor Greene sponsored a bill in Florida making weather machines illegal. And I said, little does she know, in Canada, we have a machine that causes ice wherever it goes. It's called a Zamboni.
Yeah.
And Bob, you'd like to share knowledge about a special image.
Yeah, I was going through things, and we're able to get a good image on it, and it's a stock certificate, and it was put together and made up by a friend of mine in the markets back then, Jim McGinnis, who was a terrific guy, and the name of the company is Piss Poor Mines, NPL, and I came across that the other day, and it took me away back, and I chuckled. It was great to have. So if anybody wants to have the image of Piss Poor Mines, you can get in touch with us.
Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, we've done another one. Yep, we did it. Thanks a lot.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at House Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.